Hello and welcome to Rewatchable number 46 for Veronica Mars. Today we're discussing episodes 19, Weevil's Wobble, and 20, The Bitch is Back. I'm Danielle, I'm tired, and so are my co-hosts. So we have everybody here this morning. We have Mitch, Marima, Karen, Ariana, Caitlin, and Gabrielle. So it's one big party. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. Hey.
Hello, good morning.
That was a very good staggered evening. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, it was good. So are we so excited / bummed to talk about the very last two episodes of Veronica Mars?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. They were kind of like flop, weren't they? Like
really? I actually really liked these last two episodes.
I did too. I thought they were the best ones in a long while.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they would be good as, like, regular episodes, but as, like, the last episode ever of Veronica Mars. It's just like, huh, well, I guess it's over.
Agreed. Not
well,
a good way to end.
The end scene you're thinking of, right, Ariana?
Yeah. Just, like, the whole thing. It was just like, oh, I guess that's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get to it, but I think the last scene, I think they've talked about it and said it's kind of like an F you, sort of. Like, haha, you're not going to get any resolution because you did this to us.
How horrible.
Because they cared a lot, the CW. They really wanted to know who won Sheriff.
Yep. They did. And they really wanted love together because that was all their promos. But they didn't get resolution on that either. But yeah, we'll get to that. Let's jump right into episode 19, Weevil's Wobble, because one, it's about Weevil and it's awesome. And that's really all you need to know. But here's a quick synopsis. In this episode, it must be a day ending in Y because our homeboy Weevil gets accused of a felony again. He gets arrested for allegedly selling fake Hearst IDs, but fortunately he's got his girl Boo V on the case to clear his name, and she's willing to piss off Quinn Fabray and her ski vampires to set the record straight. Meanwhile, Keith has to debate Vinny on Piz's Hearst radio show, but all anyone wants to talk about is beer because teenage stereotypes. And speaking of beer, Dick finally apologizes to Mac on the beach as a cacophony of pirate ships sail off into the horizon. Finally, as we close out the episode, Logan finds out a sex tape of Veronica has leaked onto the internet, and in a fit of rage and immaturity, he busts into Piz's radio show to beat him to a bloody pulp. But it was kind of sexy in a super primal way, right? Cavemen protect women, hunt fish, gather, eat, force?
An odd beat.
It was really late when I wrote this, guys.
I was good with it, and then just horse was a little weird. But,
eat horse. You have
horse.
To say it together.
Oh,
eat
I
horse.
Didn't realize it was together. Okay.
I still don't get it, but I'm just going to assume my brain's too tired to ever get something like that.
Let's start off talking about Weevil and how happy we were to at least see him back at this point. It
he
took a
did
while.
Something this episode.
It took a while, yeah, didn't it? But we got to see him for more than like a scene or two, which was pretty good. How did you feel about his relationship with Veronica at this point? Has it gone anywhere, or is it just kind of keeping with the same just so they could pump it out?
I think it was the same as season one in a lot of ways, just in how they interacted. Mm-hmm. So that was surprising, I guess, to see that they've grown in a sense, but their relationship is still solid.
Yeah, I think overall the mystery was kind of boring, but it was really nice to see Weevil and Veronica, like, as friends again, like you said, Gabrielle, in season one, and for her once believing him, like, not thinking that he did it, or maybe thinking maybe he did do it, but I'm going to try anyway.
I was going to say, she thought he did it for a while.
But she still helped him.
Which is my big problem with their friendship, is she never gives him the benefit of the doubt, like, ever. I'm like, if you were my friend, I would want you to say, I believe you because you're my friend.
She even believes, like, the professor who probably killed the dean more than she does Weevil.
Yeah, it's not a good situation. But it was a good thing that he didn't do it, because I would have been really mad if they had made him do it.
But regardless of the fact of him not doing it, he still kept the box, which really didn't show too good of a character for me, for Weevil, unless you guys can think of it a good excuse for why he did.
I thought that was kind of not cute, but maybe charming that he kept the box.
It was like, so yes, in character.
It's like, yes, I'm reforming, but I'm still Weevil. That's kind of how it played out to me. I don't know about any of you.
I kind of saw it as, I'm trying to be better, but no one's letting me. I get fired from my job. No one will let me file workers' comp. Everyone frames me for this, and then my friends don't even believe me that I didn't do it. So what else am I going to do?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that he got fired.
But was that really a thing? Because it didn't really seem like it was a thing.
That he got fired?
It was very, secondhand, the way it was said, and then Veronica and Weevil were able to, I think, even threaten the man by saying, we have your home address. So basically that was, blackmail. Don't fire Weevil because he'll come shoot you. Or whatever.
Steal your stuff.
I think he was still fired.
Either way,
he had his knee injury that they weren't going to pay for.
Yeah. Which is a sad ending for Weevil. Yikes.
Yeah.
Maybe now he can do something that he likes. Like felonies.
Felonies. Yes, exactly. Did you enjoy the other parts of this mystery, such as Quinn Fabre, the ski vampires, as Ariana calls them, and kind of how things worked out? Or was it just kind of annoying that they were rich people trying to get what rich people like?
I was surprised to see her again, actually. I didn't think she was going to pop up a second time, but I was kind of glad that she did. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I missed season one Glee, but it was nice to see her again.
She looks so young. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, she has the body of a 12-year-old in this episode, and it's really strange because she's a developed woman playing a 16-year-old in Glee. So,
so much different.
Yeah, well, it's polar opposites because she's supposed to be playing an older character in Veronica Mars, but, you know.
Oh, that's true. I didn't know about that.
But I was interested to see, oddly enough, that she had still that nasal quality to her voice, because I thought that she had something broken her nose or something. I don't know how old, though, and I thought it was going to be after this episode of Veronica Mars, but apparently it was before, when she was younger, and I don't know about you guys, but I just think that her nasally quality to her voice makes her really work for these preppy characters.
Yeah, she acts that part really well. Like the Quinn Fabre, I'm better than you, or I'm going to get what I want, sort of, and justify it.
Mm-hmm.
I think she plays that really well.
Let's just be grateful that there was a blonde girl on this show that Logan didn't hook up with.
Yes.
That was very incredible.
He didn't even interact with her. It was crazy.
I know. So weird.
So weird. All right. That was the Weevil storyline. Any last words about it?
Just made me sad that Weevil was hardly in this season.
Yeah.
It was like a reminder that he was awesome. I think I like Weevil a lot more since I got him in that quiz. suddenly I feel so much more empathetic towards him.
And, defensive of him, even.
Weevil's the best. What are you talking about?
Fair enough. Yeah, it's really sad that he wasn't in the season more. I'm not sure if it's because of, dropped B-plots or whatever he had going on, because I know he had some sort of, a skin issue, and I think he was dealing with that,
And his leg issue, they got to use it in the plot this time.
Yeah, that's true. His leg issue, too. He had a lot of issues, guys. It was very sad.
Ariana, are you sad that he didn't have his, final scene with his abuela? Because their relationship was very adorable when it existed.
I thought she died.
Did she die?
Oh,
did
no. She?
I thought that's why he really wanted to graduate.
Oh, I thought
that not?
He just wanted to. Yeah, I didn't
know
he died.
Okay.
Well, let's just hope that she's alive.
I feel really bad now.
You just scared all of us.
Sorry. I feel really bad now. Okay.
And Yael's just sitting there retconning everything.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, probably at this point.
Oh, I mean, come on, like, I've retconned Lick somehow into Veronica Mars when it clearly does not exist.
She's just, like, hanging out with Wallace's mom and all those people that we never saw again.
Exactly.
They're, like, yes. In a weird lost purgatory, right?
They're at the other side of Neptune.
I miss Wallace's mom.
I know, I liked her. I liked her with Keith. Maybe they'll get back together in the movie.
That would be fun.
You think Duncan's in this purgatory? Does he deserve to be in this purgatory?
No, he's in Australia.
Hey.
He is!
We're not calling Australia purgatory.
Thanks, guys.
Well, if Australia's not purgatory, it must be hell then, right?
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, Mitch. I've been gonna to remember this next I'll time I see you. Yeah, I hear it's quite nice, though. Yeah.
Okay, I had to do it. I'm sorry.
Moving on. Let's talk about
So Mitch this. Got Gia on the quiz.
And for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about with like this quiz thing, there is a quiz on Zimbio.com, and it's which Veronica Mars character are you? And we've been talking about it for like the last 36 hours, I think, is how long it's been going on. So if you haven't taken it, you should take it because it's very enjoyable and entertaining to see who you are, unless you're Duncan like me, and that is kind of weird.
Sometimes it's really accurate, though, because I got Piz, and I'm super excited about it still.
Yeah.
Piz is delightful, and so are you, Karen, so.
Thank you.
Wonderful. But let's talk about those beach scenes, because it was sort of a throwback and a nice way to get a lot of the characters together without being really weird, which was nice. And it's like a throwback to the first episode, because Wallace is flying his plane and sort of bringing people together, if we want to stretch it that far. I don't know. Did you enjoy these beach scenes? A lot of stuff went down in them.
I really liked seeing everybody together. That was really nice, like Mac and Veronica and Wallace and all of them just hanging out. It was fun.
They felt like actual college kids for once. Like yeah. Doing something normal, going to the beach.
Is that normal? I wouldn't know.
It's normal.
Okay.
Veronica and Mac had really cute little beach hairstyles, too. It made me really convinced that they were... Like Ariana was just saying, normal college students, everything of that scene. It was really cool.
Yeah, it harkened back to season one because the beach was like another character in season one with the whole Logan Veronica scenes, and we haven't seen it since. So it was nice to be back at the beach.
That's sad. I didn't think about that.
Oh, you know, Gabrielle, somewhat related thought to what you just said. To the beach being a different character. I remember one time when Veronica confronted Logan on the beach with backup. Backup probably was not in all of season three, right? I don't think we've seen him once.
No, I don't think he's here at all.
Yeah, that's just weird. I can't even explain that. I mean, then again, it's like budget cuts for animal training, I suppose, then, right?
Probably. Even in season one, though, like, they would have him, but then when you would go home with Veronica, it was like that family did not own a dog.
It's yeah, Lydia's dog Teen Wolf all over again, Karen.
Well, he's such a big dog, and they have, like, a pretty small apartment, so you're right, Danielle, that seems really bizarre.
Yeah, so it's almost bizarre to the fact that backup actually existed. In that way, even though I really like backup, but it's kind of more weird that way than him not being around, if that makes sense.
Add him to the purgatory.
Mm-hmm. Going on long walks.
Oh. with Abuela.
with Abuela, yeah. So in the beach scene as well, we get a sort of apology from Dick to Mac. And I thought it was really cute, even in the end when he tries hitting on her, because that's just dick. But how did you feel about this apology? Was it forced, or did you feel like it came at a good time and that he needed to apologize?
I liked it.
Karen, did you say you did not like it?
I did not like it. I really wanted to like it. When he started walking after Mac, I was yelling at my television, don't do it, don't do it, because I thought I was going to burst into tears, because I really have been wanting the two of them to talk about it, and what he said at first was really nice, and I'm glad that he did apologize. I don't regret it or anything, but when he started hitting on her, I know that's how Dick is, but it just kind of cheapened the whole thing for me, and I was kind of disappointed that they went down that route and made a joke out of it.
That's Dick. He's cheap, which is why I don't like him.
I don't think it was a joke, though. I don't know. I liked the apology. I wish we saw more of his emotional growth throughout the season rather than in the last few episodes, because I feel like it was really rushed. But I'm one of the people who ship Mac and Dick together. I just think they're kind of weird in their different ways and that they'd complement each other. But I'm also crazy, so I liked the apology.
I liked it too, Gabrielle, and I felt all those same things. I thought it was really nice that, you know, for once we got to see Dick acting like a human being, but then, you know, he goes back to acting like Dick. But I felt like he was trying to be sincere. Like, he's like, you know what? You do have really nice qualities. And I loved her face as she was just like, no.
Now, Marma, I have a question for you. At one point, your favorite character, Kendall, was with Dick. Now, my favorite character, Mac, is kind of, sort of, not really with Dick. Can we come to a middle ground on Dick and just saying if our favorite character sees something in him or... I take her silence as an absolutely hell no, I'm never going to like Dick.
yeah, but correct. I will never like Dick. I just love Kendall, but I dislike her choice in men, clearly.
Because all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, talking about Dick's growth, I do think it's lamentable that they didn't do anything with him until the end of the season, where they probably should have done more at the beginning, considering he was probably just as affected with what went down in the finale of season two as Veronica was, if not maybe a little bit more. So I like that we got the growth now. I hope that we get some sort of growth in the next movie, or in the next movie, in the movie, just to continue that, but I'm not sure. But I like that, too. I like that he grew.
Yeah. Well, he seems to have a lot more scenes in the movie than, let's say, even Mac or Wallace already from the trailer time he's getting. But is that anything to judge the movie by?
I think he's the comedic relief. So I think they're showing that in the trailers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Veronica herself could be the comedic relief. But I think it's just freshen things up to bring a different type of comedic relief on.
But as frustrating, too, as it was having them basically not address it for the first half of the season, I do think that it kind of made them finally addressing it at the end more meaningful, because it made Dick feel like he was dealing with it in an unhealthy way at the beginning when he was really partying a lot. So I guess I appreciate that.
Because it took so long for them to do anything with it, I didn't buy it because it was so rushed at the end. It just kind of rolled my eyes at it. But maybe that's just because I'm really biased against Dick.
No, I feel the same. I guess I am also biased. But, like, I get what you're saying, Ariana, but because they didn't address it, it just felt like it was sort of lazy writing, like they were trying to forget about it, versus, oh, he's struggling with it and that's why he's acting out this way. You know, like, well, they needed one scene with Logan being like, wow, like, Dick is acting really poorly in response to that thing that happened at the end of last season. But, like, that never happened.
Yeah.
Well, we did have all the stuff with his dad.
But that was the end.
That was later. Like, right at the end again.
And then who knows how much more in the end that would have felt if we had the full season with two more episodes tacked on, you know? I don't know if that would have felt more like the middle.
No, it's just two more episodes.
Yeah, I think it's still a little.
They went through two killers before this.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, they did. All right. And talking about guys and growth or not, Logan is sort of acting like an asshole again, obviously, because he beats up Piz. Yes, it's an act of defense, but was he justified at all?
Even less so than that, I thought that he was being, really stupid on the beach.
Yes.
That too. That's true.
I think the reason for that is Logan doesn't understand that people can be genuine, and Piz is kind of, one of the most genuine people you can get. I don't want to call him simple-minded, because I don't think he's dumb, but I think he's very straightforward and sort of wears his heart on his sleeve, and he was totally telling the truth when he was, saying, I wasn't saying anything about you badly. He was just trying to make conversation and make things a little less awkward, and Logan just kind of took that in a different direction, and I think that's very in character for him, so I think him being an asshole again makes a lot of sense. It was sad to see because I feel like he has come a little ways from, season one Logan, but it was sad just to see him kind of revert back to that and not even realize that Piz was trying to be genuine.
I agree with Karen, but I also think that it was a reversal from the last few episodes where he was really friendly towards Piz and Veronica. And, really friendly towards Veronica at the party. So, and happy with Parker, as we could obviously tell. So, for him to suddenly just become jealous again and outwardly show it did seem like a reversal and just seemed like a quick way for the writers to make their point versus actually in this character.
Yeah, it was so quick. It felt really bizarre. Even though that's been his character, it hasn't been for a while. So, it felt out of character.
Well, does anyone agree with that one BuzzFeed article about why Logan was the best part of Veronica Mars? And I think one of the reasons was that he's so cool and he fights people so much. To me, it's not cool, but I don't know if anyone's grown accustomed to that being part of his personality and therefore likes that he fights people like that.
I like that he stands up for Veronica in terms of the video. I like that he does take action, whereas we see Piz in the next episode hold her back. But I think they're each valuable, and I don't think that's the best part of his character at all.
I think it shows he is very much his father's son in a lot of ways that he might not like. But those personality traits are definitely there.
Oh my gosh, that's just like Aaron Eccles with the chair. You're right, Caitlin. Oh, that's one of my favorite scenes. I love that chair scene.
I know you do.
That scene scares me. I'm telling you. I think it's so funny. Inner Slytherin's coming out.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that he's his father's son, but then I also like the fact that he does show remorse for what he's done. Even after he's fuming, you can see when he comes down, he kind of realizes the gravity of what he's done, which if that wasn't there, I would have felt really strange about it, but at least that was there. Not saying that the fight was right, but...
Well, talking about Aaron, do a lot of his trust issues and the reasons that he jumps down people's throat come from the fact that he was brutally beaten by his father for all of his life?
At least that, I'm sure.
Yikes.
Sure. I think even in his house, I could see it being more than just physical abuse. Just from the way that Aaron is so, egotistic, So I could see him...
Yeah.
Mentally abusing him too. So if Logan wants to get a word in or wants to do something, he's going to do it. Because if he waits, he doesn't have a chance. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Overall, he just seems, understandably, very broken from his childhood. And I think that's probably why the fandom likes him so much, because they've grown accustomed to making damaged characters on Veronica Mars.
Logan sucks. I hate Logan.
All right, well, with that, let's move into our favorite season, favorite lines, so that we can get to the very last episode. My favorite scene, we already discussed it, but it was Dick talking about Cassidy, or I mean Beaver. Sorry, Dick talking about Beaver. I liked that they finally did it, and I liked his reaction to it. It just sucks that it came so late.
I cried, didn't I?
Did you?
Yeah.
Every time, even like the last few episodes when he did it, every time. It's like, don't look at me right now. Don't come near me. Caitlin, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was in the radio station when Piz is hosting the show with Vinny and Keith, and Vinny is like, why can't Keith keep his own house in order? And Veronica's right behind him, and she knocks his face into the microphone, and then Piz and Keith are just laughing. Like, that was the best.
Oh, I forgot that happened. That was funny.
So good.
Even though I do like Vinny a lot.
Yeah.
It's still funny.
And as us podcasters know, that is not too easy on the ears for anyone listening into Piz's awesome talk show.
With his head hitting the microphone?
Yeah.
All right. Ariana, your favorite scene?
I liked when Dick apologized to Mac. I thought it was so cute.
Gabrielle?
Basically all the beach scenes. I just thought they were cute and actually portrayed the characters being in college for once.
Yeah, that was a nice change.
Oh, Valentine's Day was a bit like that, too, if we're thinking back to when the beach came back. And you're right, sure. Gabrielle, they really do only seem like college students when they're out having fun at things like the beach.
Yeah, because nobody really puts a whole casino in their room or...
Uh-uh.
I don't even know. Yeah. Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was Quinn being all cute and devious in her dorm room and being stupid and thinking that she was having her picture taken for her hairstyle. If she really known that she'd done it, she probably shouldn't have even accepted that. But then that makes you sketchy if you don't say yes, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she knew something was up just because she's in a class with Veronica. But I think at that point, she just couldn't say no, I guess. I don't know. Karen, what was your favorite scene or favorite part, I guess?
My favorite part was Weevil, just all of Weevil, because, yeah, like we said, it's just so nice to see him back and everything, and I just thought he was really funny in this episode, so it was cool.
And Marima?
I just enjoyed the fact that they finally addressed that Dick may have some issues left over from the fact that his brother is like a psycho nutcase killer. And even though it was late and very rushed, it was, you know, nice to see it in there at all.
Exactly. I like the way that you wrote it in the doc, too.
Oh.
It's very nice.
Thanks.
Yeah. Favorite lines. Mine came at the beginning of this episode when Mac and Veronica are having like a girl talk in the frozen yogurt line. And they're talking about Piz and his internship and stuff. And Veronica goes, and if you didn't care, I'd probably be complaining about that to my girlfriend while waiting to pay for frozen yogurt. I'm a girl. So that realization
that was great.
Funny. Yeah, it was good. I didn't do it any justice just now, but it's okay.
It's early.
It is early. Caitlin, what was your favorite line?
Mine was when Wallace was telling Veronica that he was being stalked by someone, and Veronica goes, what, like you're being cruised? And Wallace says, yeah, remind me which color bandana I'm supposed to wear that says I'm straight, but flattered and non-judgmental. He's just so cute.
Yes, I love it. Ariana, your favorite line?
Mine was when Veronica went to go see Weevil in jail, and she tells him, they say it's a fraud case, and he goes, exactly, and you know how I feel about white-collar crime.
So true. She should have considered that.
Boy has standards.
He has standards. Gabrielle, your favorite line?
This is my favorite of the season, and it's by Piz. He goes, Rob Thomas is a whore. Talking about the Matchbox 20 Rob Thomas. But, of course, we know he means the Veronica Mars Rob Thomas, because he probably wrote it. So it was just meta, and it was great.
See, you knew that, but I didn't. I really thought that they were. I mean, I guess I just need to Google things more often. So.
Oh no! Showrunner Rob Thomas always makes jokes about the fact that he's not the other Rob Thomas. Like always, if you follow him on social media or anything, yeah, he's always making jokes.
I couldn't. I would have been spoiled. I mean, actually, you know what? I couldn't have Googled this crap. Come on. I don't want to learn any more about the movie than I already know. Yikes.
True. And we'll get to that. Mitch, what was your favorite line?
My line was Dick to Mac. I can see what Beaver saw in you.
Aww. It feels like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, good
point. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it more from the Dick Mac perspective, not from the Mac Beaver perspective, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense.
As someone who got Mac on the quiz, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I mean, that's
I also got Mac. I feel good about it, so we're at odds.
Rub it in, guys. It's fine.
But the thing is, it's just, even if Mac doesn't like it, to me, it shows that Dick is trying to be a better person past roofying people. I mean, he is a very bad person, and I'm never going to get past that. Marma and I have duked it out, and she has won with Kendall. I know that for sure.
I always win, Mitch.
Yes, you do.
I'm Weevil.
But Kendall, like, kills people. And
yeah,
she's
awesome.
Ariana. On the episode where you were the ghost, you probably didn't hear it, but you just existed to affect us in the Google Doc. Marma and I literally went head-to-head on Kendall Dick, and there was no contest. I kid you not. Like, this girl knows how to argue and get her point across. There was none for Dick. Like, done. Like, I agree with her, even, and that's saying something, right?
I guess I'm just saying Dick was an asshole, and he's a terrible person, but he was also technically a child when this happened, and I feel like he's had growth. Whereas Kendall, I mean, she is cool, but she does kill people, and she does it knowingly.
Oh, yeah, she's, like, the worst person on the show. Well, no, that's an exaggeration, because this show has, like, the worst people ever to exist.
Ever, yeah.
But, you know, she didn't, like, try and rape someone, so points for Kendall.
All right, then. Karen, what was your favorite line?
Mine actually goes hand in hand with yours, because this is back at the frozen yogurt line scene, and it's when Mac is talking about Piz, and she says, he wants to date you and be near you? Greedy little bugger. And it was just wonderful, and I love the way that they were just talking about boys, and she had a good point that, yeah, I mean, Piz wants to be near Veronica, and it's normal, so it was cute.
That was cute. I liked it too. And Marima, your favorite line, please.
Mine was also from the beach scene when they're watching Wallace try and fly his plane, and Piz is like, I'm so nervous, this is totally nodding up my inner nerd, and Mac's like, wait, you have an inner one? Which is so accurate.
That was so actually accurate. My favorite line, but you stole it.
Yeah,
but
I was
so
more prepared
wonderful.
Than you.
Yes, you were. But it was so perfect.
I really like Mac and Piz in this episode. It was really funny, the interactions just in general.
I feel like Mac is good when paired with other characters. Like, I don't think we've ever complained, or I think we've always kind of talked about the scenes where she is paired with other characters, and I really like it. I like that she can kind of get along with everybody and make it enjoyable.
I think Mac's just awesome. Doesn't matter what she's doing.
Exactly.
Accurate.
You're hard-pressed to find someone unrewatchable that doesn't like Mac.
Who got Mac on the quiz?
I did.
I did too.
Ah, interesting.
That's funny. I can see it. No, can't you guys see it? I totally can. Caitlin,
yeah,
and
no, I can see it.
Are very bad. Because it's like, you know, you have to be kind of like short and quippy, but very cheery at the same time, if that all makes sense.
Yes. All right, so deep breaths. This is the last episode of Veronica Mars ever in existence. I guess we can say so far, because we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, so you say that, Danielle.
I don't know any. Okay, we're at the point where I can't say no comment anymore. So I'm speculating. So we're good. I don't know anything more than you do. Hopefully. Maybe. I don't know. But this is episode 20. This is The Bitch is Back. A bloody Logan approaches Veronica and shows her the video while accusing Piz of taping her naked, taping their naked makeout session. Veronica doesn't believe him at first, while Piz has no idea about the video. Veronica follows the video back to Gory Sorkin, a member of the Castle, first male, all-male secret society, which Wallace happens to be getting initiated into. Wallace tries to help Veronica, but after severe hazing, is thrown out with his spy pen. Breaking into the Kane's new estate, Veronica steals his hard drive with the Castle's personal files, as well as Kane's software trade secrets. All this after encountering a creepy-ass portrait of Lily. That was very traumatizing to me, in case you couldn't tell. As acting sheriff Keith is called to investigate and realizes that it could only be Veronica. While she lies and tries to break into the hard drive with Mac, Keith destroys the incriminating evidence of the security footage and is indicted for it, with Jake Kane and Clarence Weedman appearing, or reappearing, I guess. Veronica manages to get the list of the Castle's members and secrets and negotiates with Jake Kane for her freedom, at least. Parker breaks up with Logan, saying it's always been Veronica and he doesn't even notice. Dick Weevil and Mac play their typical roles as funny jerk, loyal comrade, and quirky close friend while helping Veronica with the final mystery. Veronica cuts Logan out of her life, although it seems like they're on their way to reparations at the end of the episode, after he beats up Gory Sorkin for Veronica. Keith and Veronica seem to be tight still, despite her mistake. In the final scene of the episode, end of the series, Veronica votes in the sheriff election for Keith and walks out into the rain. And that's it. Veronica Mars, after 64 episodes, is done. At least until the finale and the books. Yeah. So, this is it. First of all, I don't know if anybody noticed, but there was no musical intro in this episode.
Thankfully.
Weird. Yeah. It felt very Grey's Anatomy, didn't it?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I was kind of looking forward to it to say, like, this is the last time I'm ever going to have to hear this in terms of the rewatch. And then it didn't happen. So
see, I'm of the minority that loves the season 3 intro.
I like it better than the song that was released a few days ago.
No.
Yeah.
I still haven't listened to that. I'm kind of afraid to.
Didn't you see the clips, Karen? Because it was in one of the clips.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I refuse to watch the clips. I'm going to go in unspoiled, yeah. Guys.
There you go, Danielle.
Something happens in them.
I know, but still.
Well, even if nothing happens to them, it makes the amount of movie that I have still not watched less, and I'd rather experience it all in one hunk rather than in disjointed 30-second pieces.
Like, I saw one scene with Veronica and her dad that transitions into Veronica, Wallace, and Mac. Like, I saw that one, but I'm not going to watch anything else. And I saw the 2-minute intro. But
the 2-minute intro was just so doggy.
Because I like watched them right after watching this episode, and in these she's like so tiny, and in those she just looks so womanly because she just had her child, and so
yeah,
like they make a joke like her boobs are huge because she's obviously breastfeeding.
But yes, let's get back to The Bitch is Back. First, let's talk about the whole Castle secret society sort of plot. Was it, well, first of all, did you enjoy it as like a standalone plot? And then I guess my second question is, how satisfying was it as like the series' last mystery? So kind of two separate questions there.
It was Clash of the Tritons 2.0.
It really was, but I really liked it. Like, I thought this was a good mystery episode, and I just liked how determined Veronica was throughout the whole episode and her going after everybody. And I thought that it maybe wasn't the best one to close out the whole series, but they probably couldn't really help that. So I don't count it against them.
I liked that it seemed to bring out everybody's like season sensibilities. Like Veronica was a bitch again, like take no prisoners. Wallace was like her lackey again, like doing whatever she said, but like earnestly. And like Weevil was helping out and Mac helped out and they were all purposeful. So I enjoyed that.
Did Wallace actually get anything? I don't think he did anything.
He like got zapped for her, like electrocuted for her.
Okay, good point. I for some reason that like fit somewhere else in the spectrum of stuff.
Mitch, good point, I guess.
I guess. Yeah. You didn't really do much. It's fine.
You know, I really liked that though. I liked that for once, Wallace and Veronica kind of seemed like they were on the same level because Veronica was sort of like, you know, this is too much to ask you. You don't have to do it. And Wallace was kind of like, you know what? No, this is, I mean, it was kind of a big deal that this tape was getting passed around everywhere. So he did it for his friend. And it wasn't Veronica, like, taking advantage of him and him just taking it. They kind of understood the importance of the whole thing. So it was really nice to kind of see them eye to eye for maybe even the first time. I mean, Wallace has been sort of like her go-to guy for a long time, so it was cool.
Can we talk about the fact that no one pressed charges against Gory for an illegal crime, basically, for sending around that video of Veronica? Isn't that illegal?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. Like,
yeah, it has to be, because it was taken in secret, so...
Oh, well, she's 18. I was going to say, isn't it like child pornography? But I don't think she's young enough for that.
I would just think that, if anything, it'd be at bare minimum an invasion of privacy. But there's about 20 more things I think you could shove on that. Like, probably libel or something to that effect, right?
Breaking and entering if you put a camera in Wallace's room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would be in jail for a long time or a lot of money. I can assume that much.
Did they have actual evidence that he'd done it, though? Like, I thought that was the point, that they knew he did it, but didn't have any way to prove it.
Well, it's a digital trail. It's easy enough now that Veronica's broken through that hardware, isn't it?
But Veronica obtained that illegally herself.
Yeah, so I think that would be thrown out.
Yes, and then that's also, now they have stuff on Wallace, because he told them his secrets.
So it's kind of like, you know, they're both keeping their guns pointed at each other as they're walking away from what was going to be the shootout, if that makes sense. Because Gory's team and Veronica's team have things that could very much harm the other. But if one shoots, the other's going to. Think of this like a nuclear war. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gory will get what's coming to him just because he didn't have to leak that video. Like, that was his choice, and his choice ended up essentially ruining the castle, because it caused a trail back to him and back to the castle, and so it exposed it. So I think that being in trouble with, like, the police and the law would be preferable to what he may or may not be going through after this episode.
But what was his motive for doing this?
He's slimy.
Gory was the frat guy.
Veronica went to his bedroom and he was wearing a towel.
Yeah, and... he's the naked one. Whose father was a murderer, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh, that was so creepy. But has he shown up before?
No.
Oh, so he was just in this episode.
Yeah.
How is his father the murderer? I'm confused. What's going on?
His father and his uncle.
The woodchuck.
Oh, the secret that Veronica didn't want to hear. The mass murderers. Yes, okay.
Yes.
I don't get that either. I know we're kind of jumping ahead, but she was like, he can keep his secrets? Really? Like,
no.
He knows about a murder? She knows that he knows about a murder, and she's just like, yeah, we're not going to tell anybody? How does that make any kind of sense?
Well, a popular fan theory is that his family was in the mob, so that's why when she tells Logan he's connected, that she means like basically he's a mobster and that, you know, taking down him wouldn't just solve the problem and that there'd be consequences.
And it's not only that, that's like I was saying before, one person is shooting their gun, the other's going to shoot, and everyone is just going to explode, and no one wins. So I think that Veronica's taking a very smart stance and accepting the stalemate.
Let's talk about Veronica and Keith, because what better way, I guess, to close out the show than to have something between these two characters that we love. And they're pretty much like the core relationship of the show. So let's talk about how her decisions probably affected the race. Do you think that after everything, Keith Mars could have won the election?
No.
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 Sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is sad. It's also sad to think that the alternative is Vinny. And that, like, Neptune doesn't know how he actually is, which is weird because it's not that big, but... Next question, do you think Veronica realizes there are consequences to her actions? I kind of see, I think so.
And I think I see she does now.
As she walks out of the polling place into the rain, I think that was kind of like a...
Maybe now she does, three seasons later.
How does Veronica not have, like, a big bodyguard following her around everywhere? Because, hell, this girl has made way too many, like, murderous enemies. It's really surprising that she's still alive, if you ask me.
Because Logan tried doing that once and it scared the crap out of her. So.
Oh, yeah, good point. She's over taser, so... I mean, but tasers can't protect you from sniper. That's kind of scary. Oh, I don't want to think about
that. Snipers everywhere just shooting people?
Yeah, I guess
so. Is that a thing?
Well, when she's involved with mob families as much as she seems to be...
I think she does realize that there are consequences, and I think this is the situation that she finally does. Whereas before with Logan or with Mac or with Wallace, she kind of saw it as a means to an end. But with her dad, she's realized like how much she screwed up and how much he sacrificed for her throughout the series and always been there for her. And I think she realizes like she didn't have to do what she did.
And you know what, guys? I really feel like in the movie, we might see something to the effect of the Scream movies, which I know I've referenced people to from Veronica Mars, in the fact that Veronica's choices in season one even will come back to affect her all the way in the movie, in that perhaps the killer would have been affected by the fact that she turned, Aaron in or something very wild to create such a deranged killer such as, you know. So I'd be really interested if they did that because I think that the Scream movies do that really well. So if Veronica Mars is able to pull it off too, I can't really see too many people complaining. That'd be really cool.
I would like that. They would just have to really make sure that the audience who had never seen Veronica Mars knows the gravity of the situation. They would have to really explain it and spend time explaining what happened beyond what they explain in the first 2 minutes, you know?
Well, how much do you guys think in general they're going to care about the unintelligent toward Veronica Mars audience, the unsavvy audience?
I think they care quite a lot because, I mean, yes, the fandom is pretty big and they're going to see the show, but at the same time, that's a select group of people. And if they want to continue on with Veronica Mars, I feel like they need a little bit of a bigger net to cast.
So that way it'd be very, very unlikely for my Scream killer to actually show up because that would alienate too many people and thus kill off the series from not making it as popular as it potentially could have been.
They would just have to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
I mean,
they're good at
time.
It.
Yeah. But I couldn't see them taking that precious movie screen time to do that. If they do, it's cool, and it might surprise me. I love it, but only if they do it right.
Yeah, and we'll get to theories, because your theory could tie into one that Ariana has. But yeah. So do you think that Keith made the right decision by covering up Veronica's mistakes, both as a father and also as, like, a law enforcement officer?
This is so hard because,
yeah,
on the one hand, he really shouldn't have done it because he's the sheriff. I mean, hello, that's kind of obvious. But on the other hand, this is his daughter. And who knows what would have happened to her. Like, he's extremely loyal to his daughter. And I think that he knows her intentions were good. So it's not like he was helping, you know, her do something bad. But at the same time, I kind of wanted him to trust in Veronica a little bit more. She slipped up, I think, with the whole, like, camera thing. But I think she's very smart, and she knew what she was doing and what she was getting into and how to sort of blackmail everybody into making sure everything was okay. So if he had just held out a little bit longer, I think things would have been fine. But hey, what's the fun in that?
But she couldn't, though.
She didn't answer the phone. Order.
Yeah, she ignored him. He tried to do that, and she didn't include him in what she was doing.
Yeah,
and they got a court order to see the evidence.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I have a feeling that if, like, because she did blackmail Jake Kane at the end, so I'm kind of hoping that maybe things would have worked out okay. Like, if he would have dropped the charges, wouldn't that have kind of made everything go away?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's still the risk of that, of Clarence Weedman saying something, or of the neighbor saying something, or even that security guard. There's still a risk there. I have a question, though. Did you guys think it was weird that Jake Kane all of a sudden hated Veronica? And also, where was Celeste Kane? Like, Celeste Kane is just, like, dead, divorced. Like, what's going on there?
Also, when did he come back to Neptune?
Why would he come back to Neptune?
Well, he, like, owns Neptune.
Yeah. Well, last we saw him, he was arrested, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
I think it's safe to assume that Celeste was too posh to be able to stomach the fact that her husband could be arrested, and that must have led to some abuse of some substance or something to that effect to, or maybe not, just to, you know, create this rugged looking character we see that is broken down and I suppose looking for justification in life by collecting trade secrets on teenage boys.
I mean, I don't think his arrest was that major, so I don't think that would cause her to go over. But I think that with everything that happened with their children, and the fact that, like, Jake was still meeting with Veronica's mom, I think that would cause Celeste to divorce.
But in the end of the day, though, yeah. I think that Jake Kane is one of those scream killers, because although Veronica didn't, like, you know, turn him in or anything, her actions did lead to his downfall, which created a vengeful it made him vengeful toward Veronica, if that makes sense to anyone who was wondering why he was such a jerk to her.
See, but that happened after, or before. Like, he, as soon as he saw Veronica, he was mean towards her. Whereas I would have thought that, I found that strange considering the fact that she solved his daughter's murder and he was always nice to her.
Right.
And he was dating her mom and he thought she was his daughter for a while. So it was just a reversal of character just to make him an easy ploy. Also, his beard looked like Duncan's in Australia. So I actually thought they were related in this episode.
I thought he looked like the professor.
Well, I won't beat a dead horse with this, but I do think that in the end of the day, if he was to be as ignorant as I'm assuming to say that Veronica has led to the death of his daughter and the disappearance of his son, even, definitely, and the divorce of my wife and everyone thinking I'm a weirdo in town, that if he could be that disillusioned, I'd believe it because of the hell he's been through.
I'm sure he knows where Duncan is because Clarence Weedman was with him.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, Clarence Weedman could be playing both sides at the same time, though. Who knows?
Not true. Good points. Any last words about the castle at all? Or that storyline?
It was dumb. I didn't like it.
Oh,
and it has to be.
Guys, surprising guys, no one.
Well, don't you guys think that it's meant to set up for the movie and or something else? This is, I'm trying to which movie theories, But I'm just trying to find a purpose for it because I agree, Marma.
I felt like the entire purpose of the castle was to put Keith in a position where he had to break the law to protect Veronica, therefore losing the election.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of like, full circle.
Right, and it was sort of clumsily done. I wouldn't have cared so much if it wasn't so, like, and now this is happening, and, oh, it's the rich guys that Veronica hates, that she's always hated. They're the bad guys. And, oh, Jake Kane's here. He's, like, the king of rich guys that Veronica hates, and now Keith's in trouble at the end.
I feel a lot of things about these last two episodes, while I really did like them, a lot of the things that they were doing were just so obvious to, yeah, like you said, get the characters from one location to another. And I just, you know, I know that they can do better than that. So it was a little disappointing.
Yeah, again, they were cut short. And I think that was kind of their way of not only consolidating the plot, but also being like, we're going to do whatever we want to now, regardless of storytelling and whatever, because you canceled us. That's how I kind of feel about it.
I mean, but one episode title to show that you're jaded, other than the bitch is back. That just shows, yeah, like, CW, screw you. Like, that speaks nothing, but I don't even care what the viewers think, you know?
Yeah. And in terms of setting up for the movie, just a little bit of background. The movie actually had a much different plot than, I guess, what was actually made, like his original plan that he had for it. So, and that's actually going to be, I don't think this is a spoiler, but that's actually going to be what the first novel is about. It's actually the plot that was going to be for the movie. It's going to be that novel. But instead they changed the movie to something else. So some of these things could be a setup for the movie, but in terms of being originally planned to be so, they're not, if that makes sense.
Is it a spoiler to say what that book plot's going to be?
They haven't released it yet.
They've given hints, though.
Just in terms of motivations, the motivation for the movie was there, but not for the movie that we are going to see. Before we start talking about the movies and the books and stuff, let's get back to this episode and kind of wrap up things with our favorite characters, because they throw a lot of people in here just to try to get them one last hurrah on screen. There's not a lot of resolution to things, but we do get some sort of tying up. We get, of course, a love triangle at the end of the series. There are a lot of questions here, but just general feelings about the love triangle and, I guess, Veronica's relationship with Logan at the end of the episode and what's going to happen to Piz and all of these things. And really quick disclaimer. Piz and Veronica are not together the entire time between Hearst and the movie.
What? Really?
They're not together. Yeah, they reconnect.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no. It's not a relationship spanning years. They reconnect, I think Rob Thomas said, a few months before the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. So
that has no effect on, I guess, what happens in this episode.
So that must mean that the FBI internship is what splits them apart because of that weird look he gave her when she was like, I'm going. He was like, yes, you are.
I don't think that just split them apart. I think also the fact that Logan beat up someone for her.
Yeah.
And then they share a meaningful look.
Also the fact that Logan beat up Piz and then they shared a meaningful look. I feel like that maybe had something to do with it.
You know, maybe.
Truth.
Veronica makes poor decisions.
Yeah. Yes, she does.
She's almost too brassy for her own good sometimes.
So was the look at the end more of an eye roll moment than a possible love moment then? Because that's kind of how I felt. A little bit.
Oh, I was definitely eye rolling.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I figured, yeah.
I liked it because I feel like Veronica did a really big thing to tell Logan that he's out of her life. I mean, that was obviously difficult for her, but it was sort of like a long time coming because he has a lot of issues and she doesn't need those issues in her life. So that made sense to me, even though it was a little sad. But that look at the end, and I think just the fact that he walked up to Piz and apologized and that it was meaningful went a long way, I think, in showing that Logan can change, or that he does understand, like, some things are necessary, like that apology to Piz. So I'm glad they shared that little bit of a moment. And I think people who were really into the Logan and Veronica thing would have appreciated that. Otherwise, to end the whole series on Veronica just being like, I'm never going to talk to you ever again, would have disappointed a lot of people. So I think that little glimpse at the end gave a lot of people hope.
That's fair enough. I forgot about the Logan Piz moment. I really liked that. So I guess I think we had quite a few love shippers on here. At the end of this episode, are you still shipping it? Or are you kind of okay with them being just what they are?
I ship it, but I didn't think they were matched well in college. I think they need time to grow. So I ship it. I ship them for the movie. I'm a love shipper all the way, and I'm proud of it. Although I do like Piz, and I love Chris Lowell, so I appreciate him.
I feel like it's inevitable. Like, I love Piz, and I really do like Veronica and Piz together, but it's the whole Logan thing is kind of inevitable.
Yeah.
I feel like the fandom as a whole is always singing the Hairspray song without love, because quite frankly, the show wouldn't be what it is without love.
With Zefron, without love. Okay. So then, not that it's really a huge plot point, but Parker and Logan's breakup, did you even care, because we kind of can see where the end game is?
I mean, I said good for her.
Yeah, me too.
The writing was on the wall, and she deserved a way better relationship than she got.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And she caught it early, too.
Yeah.
Or, like, she didn't wait for any excuses, which is good.
I liked Parker a lot, so I'm glad we got to see her again. I'm glad she got her due.
Do you feel like this is the same Parker that we've been following?
Drastically different. Does that make sense? She's very different from when we first saw her crying in her bed, head shaven. She is a very strong character who has come out of a very hard situation, very, very incredibly intelligent. I think that she did all that she needed to do in what she said by just saying, like, I know it's always been her. And the fact that I suppose she doesn't have a reason to make anything about her rape anymore, that she could have a poor relationship and it has nothing to do with that, shows not only her character growth and moving on, but also that, you know, Logan just isn't a nice guy in a completely different way. And that not every person who's going to hurt Parker is going to be a rapist, for instance. You know, she's grown accustomed to the evils of the world in other ways, I guess.
Yeah, I like that. All right, then let's talk about Wallace. As we're moving through all of these characters that kind of show up towards the end.
I just realized that I was on mute, so you guys didn't hear me saying that I was angry at Parker.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering if you were going to jump in or not. But okay, yeah, do you want to try that again?
Well, I feel like it was good for her to break up with Logan. I think that she did it for the wrong reasons, and I was angry that she didn't seem to feel any sympathy towards Veronica's situation at all. Like, putting Logan aside, I was angry that she wasn't angry for Veronica and what happened to her. That she was just kind of like, now you have him, Veronica. He's all yours. I thought that was counter to what her development had been and how she was friends with Veronica. So that upset me.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not Veronica's fault that Logan has her on such like a high pedestal in one way. Is that kind of what you're, because she blamed Veronica for what Logan had done?
Well, even, I guess he did it because she was his ex-girlfriend, mm-hmm. and because he still loves her. But even if she wasn't, like, let's say she was just his friend, his close friend, knowing Logan's personality, that makes sense. Like, Weevil would do that for Veronica. He would beat up a guy. He has in the past.
Yeah.
So I just felt like she did the right thing, but at the wrong time and for the wrong reasons.
Let's move then to Wallace again. As we were talking about, he's got like a return to form. So the question in here is, would you have given up your secret society for your best friend? I can kind of assume the answer, but Did you like what he did in this episode with what I guess he could do, what he was given?
Yeah, I liked Wallace in this episode because he wasn't a Lothario like we've seen him in past episodes. And he was just a solid friend and seemed to really value Veronica and to get angry on behalf of Piz. So I liked that we saw him being his own person, but also keeping his loyalty and his Hufflepuffness. So I love Wallace.
To answer your question, yes, I would definitely not join the secret society that was electrocuting people and killing people and stuff.
Yeah. Do we feel okay with this sort of, it's not a resolution, but with our last glimpse of Wallace in the series, are we feeling as satisfied as we possibly could?
No, because we don't have Alicia. I'm sorry. Wallace and his mom is like the cutest thing ever. And Wallace and his brother, also super cute. Like, that would have been, like, an awe-inspiring moment to tie up the series.
I forgot he had a brother.
Me too.
Fair enough, because I did too.
He had a brother? Like, I'm serious. I don't even remember him having a brother at all.
Yeah, he has a little brother. In that episode they have the freeloader, and, like, Wallace wants to beat him up. His mom is like, no, not in front of your brother. Take your brother outside.
Yeah, that's a problem.
What was the last scene? Was it just him and Veronica, like her helping him after he got electrocuted?
I think so, yeah.
I always felt like their relationship was very central to the show. So I liked it.
Yeah. It's as satisfying as it could have been, in my opinion. Everybody, because I know we all have kind of favorite characters, some that we saw a few, I think, in this episode. Was there anybody who was left feeling not as satisfied as possible with the way a character wrapped up, whether it was Mac, Wallace, Dick, any of them, Piz?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel satisfied with the fact we don't know what happened to any of them, but I think they were all very much portrayed truly, and they all had their quips and, you know, were funny, but we don't know what happened to any of them, so that sucks.
But if I didn't have a movie to look forward to where I was going to learn everything that happened to them, I probably would be a lot more upset than I am right now.
Yeah. So you'd be like me and Gabrielle for the last however long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe, like, oh, that has to be so hard, you know, to really care about a show and then it just cuts off like that and you just have no idea going forward. I think you probably just assumed nothing was going to happen, and now that it has, it must be so exciting, but I can't imagine waiting that long between the series and the movie.
For me, it's only been, I think, like 2 years, so I can't imagine six.
Still, though, 2 years.
Yeah. It really did feel like as soon as that final fade out, that's it. That there's not another episode. It didn't feel like that in a good way, though. Not like in a Sopranos, they cut off in half sentence. They really just didn't wrap up that major plot line for the third mystery of the season, like we were referencing before. The sheriff election. But it probably would have been too depressing if we had to see Keith lose. It would have been better rather than seeing, like, Veronica, you know, walking all alone into the dark rain, waking up when September ends. It would have been better if it was more of like, you know, Teen Wolf season 3A's finale where everyone's like, you know what, life really sucks, but at least we have our significant others. And that's pretty much what everyone has right now, right?
Significant others. I disagree.
I would have been pissed with that, and so would Love Shippers. And I think it's good that it was just about Veronica and Veronica dealing with what she had done and kind of coming to terms with it and just walking away.
Even though I am a Logan Veronica fan, I didn't want it to end with them, because as much as that was a part of the series, it was about her growth and her dealing with all that has happened to her. So I'm glad that the final scene was her dealing with what she did, not with what had happened to her. I thought it was a nice way to end.
This I guess like a noir series, you don't end on a happy note, like, yay, you end in cold rain in California. Like, that's how a noir story ends.
Hey, good point, Caitlin.
That is kind of nice. I hadn't thought of it like that, that it comes full circle where, like, the final scene, she's finally learning her lesson about how she affects others.
Yeah. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, you're not satisfying me. It's weird. It's like, pick your poison, you know? Would you rather not have any friends so you couldn't affect anyone, or would you rather have a lot of friends so that you could mess up a lot of lives? And we've seen her at both ends of the spectrum in the beginning of the show and at the end of the show. So do you guys think that she's better off in the beginning or the end of Veronica Mars?
At the end, when she has friends and is happier.
Yeah. So we're saying regardless of the lives that she's screwing up or the people she's screwing over, she is still better off.
I think so. I think even Keith is better off because at least he's not being ostracized and they aren't going through such tough times.
Well, I guess that's the ultimate growth of the show then, that Keith and Veronica are doing better than they were in the beginning, which is cool. And It seems like Veronica's mom is never going to have her. She's also in the purgatory, we'll say, because she was, I suppose that she was closed off when she was. She didn't deserve to be in a better place with them. She left and she stole money and she just didn't do a lot of good things. So I think it's just for Veronica and Keith, this happiness.
Was there anything that you were hoping the series would kind of wrap up, but it didn't?
Well, Marma, did they close off the Kendall storyline successfully to you?
I mean, no, but I feel like the show and I have moved on since that point.
I still have it.
There's been like 22 episodes since then, Mitch.
I can't give it up because to me it was too drastic of an opener to just be like, whatever.
Have you been watching the same show as the rest of us?
Hell yeah, I watched the opening of season 3 and it started with a cold murder and I said, ha! And then it was like, it didn't really happen. It just kind of, we'll talk about it in a bit, maybe. And I was like, no!
But season 3 is like a mishmash.
What about that time when Veronica was like shut in a fridge and then set on fire and then no one ever talks about it again? Like this happens every week on Veronica Mars. You know, sorry. Remember that guy that made the bus crash and then blew up a plane? Yeah, me either. Because no one ever talks about him again.
Good so points.
That's all
I could go on forever.
Yes.
Marma's putting out good ones too.
Yeah, no, she's taking it. As a whole, would you say that, I mean, you can be completely honest, would you say that you enjoyed what Veronica Mars had to offer, even though all of the seasons were kind of drastically different?
Yes.
I like the
show. To an extent. Season 1 was amazing, and I really fell in love with the characters right away. I think season 3 was a hot mess, and it had some really high points, but also some really low points. And so it kind of made me sad because I feel like there was so much potential in this show, and things just kind of got a little crazy. But it is what it is, and I'm really glad that we did this, and I am satisfied to an extent with what we've seen, especially that we have the movie on the horizon. I think that kind of helps allay some of the grumblings that I have about these last, you know, few episodes and season 3 as a whole.
I think the series is amazing, and season 1 is by far my favorite. But I think it's really good in terms of using characters, going beyond stereotypes in most cases. Like Wallace and Veronica, best friends, totally platonic. Very few other shows, especially CW or UPN shows, have this. And having a strong female character who makes mistakes, hurts some people, but, you know, realizes it and grows, I think is really phenomenal. And she's not an anti-hero. So I think that is also a mark of a good series, that they don't need to make her into a serial murderer in order for us to identify with her, as a lot of shows now do. So I think this series could have been better in season 3. And I think if it was on today, maybe it would have been, because it would have had social media and it would have had more attention. But I think it was really good. And I'm glad we did this.
Yeah, I think Veronica Mars will always live on as one of the best written shows that I've watched. As I've often compared it to, it reminds me a lot of the character development that I had grown accustomed to in shows like Lost. And I will always remember the awesome little moments where you have that big reveal and it blew your mind and you didn't see it coming as often as they did happen, which was fairly often in my opinion. So overall, if I had to like rate the show, I guess I would give it like a good 8 out of 10.
I really enjoyed the first season. I think it was really, really great. I feel like 2 and 3 were probably too long of seasons for what the writers obviously wanted to tell, because I think it left a lot of room to do nothing, or it felt like that, even though I guess a lot of our characters didn't get serviced. So I think I would have to agree with, like, Karen, like what you said, that I stick around for the characters, even though I felt like it wasn't greatly plotted or plotted that well in the end.
Yeah, I could have done without season 3. I feel I think that may have come across in my episodes on the season 3. I really loved I really loved season 1, and I thought season 2 was pretty great, and then season 3 just had like so many issues I can't even begin to deal with it. But I think the main one for me was that a lot of the time the characters who were the reason that I watched the show, because, you know, eventually, as I worked out, Veronica Mars is basically a soap opera, which I didn't really know going in. So that was a shock to the system. But in season 3, the characters were a lot of times sort of unrecognizable from their season 1 and 2 counterparts, you know, which was the reason that I was watching. So, yeah, maybe that's why the end of season 3 didn't really bother me, because by the time we finished up, I was so not invested in these characters anymore. And I really didn't have that moment of like, oh, no, what's going to happen to them? Because I didn't really care, which I feel bad to say. Like, I'm looking forward to the movie a lot, because I'm hoping it will go back to those things that I loved about seasons 1 and 2.
If it ended on season 2, though, I would have been destroyed.
Yeah,
I think I would have needed been so season 3 to like regain my sanity.
I would have just been superior and right, and like I would be done. I'd be fine. Kendall would be alive.
On a high note.
That's all good. Yeah.
Too much personal victimization if it ended on season 2. I liked it a lot. Will I rewatch parts of it? Yes, that's kind of how I qualify things, that how much I enjoy them, as if I will rewatch them or reread them. And I see myself rewatching parts of this show. Is it one of my favorites? No. I think it had good parts. I enjoyed the characters a lot, but I don't qualify it as one of my favorite series, basically.
I would agree with that.
I would watch season 1 again. I really did like season 1 a lot.
Yeah, I did really like season 1, but I think for me, like, I just dislike the Logan-Veronica relationship so much that it's, like, really difficult to watch the show if you're not invested in that, I think, which you guys would not be aware of that feeling, because it's literally, like, the focus of basically every episode. And even though it ends on this note of, like, oh, it's about Veronica, the show is basically about Logan and Veronica, arguably, so... Yeah, that makes for a tough viewing if you're not super into that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Even if you liked Logan, it might be a little bit better. But since you don't, like, I can just see how difficult
it
is.
Yeah, it's like lose-lose.
Yeah. Before we move on anymore, Mitch actually has to leave us. He has more important things to do, I guess. So we will see you, Mitch, on our very last episode when we talk about the movie.
Yes, and might I say that I'm doing something pretty important, and I'm going to save it. No, yeah, should I tease everyone? Yeah, I'm going to tease.
I hate you already, so do
what
you want.
Let's just say I'm going to see the cast twice before we record the podcast. I'll just say that much.
All right, you can leave now.
Yeah, it's been a fun time doing Rewatchable Veronica Mars, guys. I look forward to the movie recording, and happy shipping. All right, take care, everyone, and good luck finishing off the episode with your favorite quotes and the like.
Bye, Mitch.
All right, bye.
All right. Our final favorite season, favorite lines, because I don't know how accurate we'll be able to remember for the movie. So this is it. My favorite scene was the last one with Veronica casting her vote and walking off into the rain, just because it's so memorable to me. not that I like really, really loved it, but it was, it's a memorable image that's kind of stuck around with me for a while. Caitlin, your favorite scene?
Mine was Veronica confronting the one frat dude, I forgot his name, and singing Bad Day with her taser. Like, I just made your life a living hell, and it was awesome.
That was, I'm so obsessed with her voice now for obvious reasons, but mm-hmm. That made me super happy.
So good. Ariana, your favorite scene?
I loved it when Wallace and Weevil and Mac were actually useful in this episode, and it felt like season one again with bitch Veronica and her bitchy antics. I loved it. So I guess that was like the whole episode.
But fair enough. It's good. Gabrielle, your favorite scene?
The end scene, because I thought it showed that Veronica had grown. And it was iconic with the rain and her just walking out, and Neptune looked completely different. I was like, where is this in Neptune? But I liked it, and it made me sad. And I don't know, rewatching it again, I couldn't really remember any other scenes, but I remembered that one. And Logan beating Gory up, but that was not my favorite scene. So
yeah, same. I'm in the same boat. Mitch's favorite scene was Mac using her super hacking skills while being fueled solely on Twizzlers, which was also a good scene. So good job, Mitch.
Question, Karen? What is a Twizzler?
Sure.
What?
It's like a red vine, but not as good.
It's a brand of licorice. They're a little bit sweeter than red vines, I think.
What is a red vine?
It's like licorice.
Okay.
It's basically, yeah. It's like pieces of
licorice.
Because
you're just naming things that we also don't
know. Sorry.
Oh my God.
Like this piece of red rubber that people eat, basically.
Yeah. Wow, it's like, why is your country obese and mine isn't? Oh, no, wait, we are too.
Yeah, and Twizzlers
we just call it
like
other things.
All different flavors and stuff, so.
Thank you for the translation. Sorry to interrupt.
Sure. No, not a problem. Karen, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was, this is kind of mean, but not really, because they deserved it. Veronica tearing down everyone who got in her way. I really loved the determined Veronica, the one who, you know, somebody's like, yeah, see what you can do about it. And she just walks away, and we cut to another scene, and she's got, you know, her taser out sitting in this guy's room with the lights off. And it was just amazing. I love that side to Veronica.
We haven't seen it in a while, so it was really great to see it.
Yeah.
And Marima, your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was, unsurprisingly, when Parker broke up with Logan, because first of all, it was Parker being awesome, and second of all, it was Logan getting dumped.
So to be expected.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then our favorite lines. Mine is, after all these years, do you not instinctively fear me? Maybe you should write yourself a note. Perfect bitch, Veronica. Caitlin, your favorite line?
Mine was Logan when he says to Veronica, someone's always supposed to pay, right? Isn't that the rule we live by? And I just thought that kind of encapsulated Logan and Veronica's character.
Yeah.
Two sentences.
And so many problems.
Exactly. But
which is why they belong together, because they're both damaged in this way.
They both belong in jail. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, at this point, I would think so. Ariana, your favorite line?
Mine was a dick line. Woo. Which I guess I shouldn't have used him for my last episode ever, but it was so funny. When he forwards the porn of Veronica, and he's trying to justify it. So he's like, it was instinct. I always forward porn when it's good. Like, he's paying her a compliment.
So funny.
Oh, he's the worst.
Best. Like, the character's the worst, but the actor's the best, if that makes sense. Like, I don't
hilarious.
Think we would like him as
oh,
much.
Oh, I like the character, too. I think he's funny.
Yeah.
Ryan Hansen's hilarious, but the character is awful.
Gabrielle, your favorite line?
Mine was Caitlin's, and I really liked it because, as she said, it encapsulated not only Logan and Veronica, but I think this series. And what Veronica set out to do was to get vengeance and to investigate and, you know, help people. And I also thought that this is why Logan and Veronica are meant to be and why Piz just won't ever get it. He just doesn't know Lily and he doesn't know Beaver and he doesn't know all of Veronica's history. And I doubt she's shared that with him. And so I don't think he has this mentality when he forced her to walk away, even though that's positive and healthy. Yeah, I think I agree with Caitlin that, you know, Veronica and Logan are a little damaged and that's why they work. They get that about each other.
Mitch's favorite line was from Veronica, and she said, "It's like you're this giant jackass pinata waiting for someone to beat the candy out of you." So that one was a good one, for sure. And Karen's was also a good one. Karen?
Yes. This is after Piz has been beaten up, and Veronica sees him for the first time, and he says, "You should see the other guy, his hands particularly. I tore those things up." And this is just one of the very many reasons why I love Piz, because he's making a joke when he really maybe shouldn't be, but he's just this ball of sunshine, and he kind of admits his faults, and it's just great, and I like Piz.
I love that line. He's so funny.
That is a good line.
Yeah. And Marima, your favorite line?
Before I say my favorite line, I feel like I didn't say this before, and I need to like have on record that Logan bashing out Piz and then the other guy is like really crap, and I don't think it's like at all justifiable. So anyway, that being said, now I like my conscience is clear.
Disclaimer.
My favorite line was classic Veronica Mars. When Veronica is like, "Chip, a moment of your time." And Chip, it goes, "I'm kind of in the middle of something." And Veronica says, "It's a cluster of morons. Don't worry. They'll let you back in." Classic Veronica. Loved it
classic
so much.
Classic Veronica.
Yeah.
And she had a line about the egg there, too. It was great.
Oh, man. She was out for blood. And I love how she was really trying to be, like, not polite, but like she was just sort of not going all out at first. Like, "I need a moment of your time." And then when he didn't give it to her, she really cut him down.
Good for her. He's a jerk.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Let's briefly talk about the future of Veronica Mars, including the season 4 pilot, which I'm not sure if all of you watched it. We'll discuss it like really briefly. But in the season 4 pilot that was shot, or at least parts of it were shot, Veronica's an FBI agent, whereas in the movie she's a lawyer. Could you have seen her as an FBI agent in like a standalone series by itself?
Well, preferably not in that series, because it was like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It was like the worst pilot ever shot.
Wow. That makes me feel really bad for really liking it then.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was just the like 12-minute one, right? That was all. There wasn't any more. Okay. Yeah, it was really bad.
It was really awful.
Really,
yeah.
Really bad.
Oh my god.
Karen, please defend yourself. Why did you like it?
I probably am not going to be able to now, but I don't know. I thought it was good, and it was a little bit of the Veronica Mars that we had before, but it also felt really new, which I think coming after season 3 was a huge relief that they were kind of going in a different direction. And I really liked the idea of her being an FBI agent. I think that would allow them to do a lot more with the character and a lot more with the storyline and everything, while still working with a character that we all love. And so I was kind of disappointed when we learned in the movie that she turned out to be a lawyer. I really thought she was going to be an FBI agent for the movie. So that was kind of disappointing. But I don't know. I thought the pilot was funny and it was good. And apparently I'm wrong.
It was just like Veronica Mars 21 Jump Street.
It was amazing.
So bad.
It was also like, let's throw in another love triangle, except, like,
no one cares.
No one cares, and Veronica's grown up, so it's really obvious that we have a love triangle, and they're both kind of bland. Oh, and Veronica hates authority figures, or has issues with authority, so now she's an FBI agent? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
She's gonna work through the rules, whatever, but
yeah,
she's
like,
not.
No, she would be fired, like, in training or in boot
camp. was this pilot meant to be on the CW as well? Like, is that who filmed it?
I think Rob Thomas filmed it on their own. I think it was separate from the CW and that they were going to maybe try to shop it around, but exactly sure.
Okay.
I didn't watch it because I just didn't care since nobody that I care about is in it. But so what happens in it?
After, I think it's like even after a year at Hearst or whatever, she goes and she is in FBI training and she makes it. And this is like her first day as an FBI agent and it like shows you her first assignment, which is trying to catch I don't know what I would call him.
He's a prison abuser.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
A sexual predator.
That's what I was looking for. It's a prison guard, and he's a sexual predator, and he works at like a women's prison. And so, like, she goes undercover as a person who would be in that prison, and like she. I don't know. So they show you like getting that guy, and then her interactions with these other people who are also new FBI agents, and at the end of it, like, they go to this one guy's house who supposedly knows of a killer or something, and he ends up being the killer, and that, like, that's where it ends. Something like that.
It was basically the plot of The Professor and Creepy Tim, where I was like, I think the professor did it, and then Creepy Tim's like, jokes, guys, it was me.
But it didn't have, like, Logan or Keith or Wallace or anything.
Have Veronica and assorted extras.
Okay. Yeah, Veronica was the only one in it.
You're really not missing out on anything.
Yeah, I probably will never watch it, so.
Fine.
So before you were talking about problems with authority, do you have any hopes about Veronica being a lawyer then? Because I feel being a lawyer, she has to be more with the law, right?
Well, yes, but she also has to, she kind of stands up for authority, and I kind of see her as a defense attorney like Cliff. That's just what I'm hoping, that she, you know, is still trying to protect people. Or even if she's a prosecutor taking on cases that, you know, are really true to her heart. But I think her being a lawyer is her having grown up. And the movie takes place, 10 years after the series ends? 10 years after her high school reunion? Whereas the 10
years after she graduates, yeah.
Right. So the FBI thing looked like she was younger and just didn't seem like she had grown up. But yeah, she's a good arguer. Like, and I don't think she could have been a cop after all that she has done. Like, I don't think anyone would have accepted her record. Even if she doesn't officially have stuff on there, they'd still investigate. And it would be really shady.
Yeah, I will agree with that. And I think for the tone of the movie and everything, it does make a lot of sense that she's a lawyer. And I do like the fact that she's a lawyer because I see her kind of like Cliff, where she would be really good at digging for the truth. Obviously, we know that after 3 seasons and coming up with these awesome theories to pin people on. And yeah, I think it's going to work out really well.
I'm just picturing Veronica in suits, and it's like, she fits that world totally. All the sneaky, underhanded dealings.
I was thinking
like,
that too.
Totally perfect.
I was just about to say, like, should be one of the lawyers, like, on Suits, where they're kind of lawyers and they're kind of, like, sneaky about it. And then just, like, lots of classy, like, one-liners. That would be great. Can that be a crossover?
Since we are talking about Veronica as a lawyer, let's just move into the trailer really quickly. Gabrielle and I had a quick discussion at the end of one of the episodes, but I want to hear how you guys felt about the trailer. I'm assuming everybody has watched it now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thoughts about the trailer, faces that you saw, maybe even the tone of the movie, anything?
I think it looks really good. I'm super excited for it. It's nice to see a bunch of people back. I wasn't expecting Leo to show up, so that was cool. And I can't remember everyone that showed up, or even some of the people that weren't there, but I think the overall tone of the movie is really exciting, and it harkens back to the Veronica Mars that we love, with all the quips and the funny scenes, and I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I feel basically the same as Karen. It looks really good, and yeah, it reminds me of sort of what I loved about Veronica Mars. And it looks funny, and the only thing that bothers me about it is, like, Veronica and Piers's relationship, because, like, that's dumb. But, yeah, the actual, like, concept of it, and I like Veronica as a lawyer. I think that makes sense. And, you know, I'm curious to see where all these characters have ended up, you know, 10 years later. And I think in my mind I'm just sort of deleting season 3 like it never existed. So that's helping me enjoy the movie.
I think a few people do that, so you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Marima, about the fact that, I mean, the movie looks like it's basically going to be about Veronica and Logan because, you know, she goes back to Neptune to help him, and I think we can all assume some things are going to go on between them. Like, does that interest you all at all, considering it's been about 10 years and maybe Logan has changed?
Yeah, I mean, my main thing with it is that I really don't want to watch a movie about a love triangle, and that's kind of what it looks like. Yeah. Because, first of all, like, Veronica and Piers being together is, like, so preposterous because that was very clearly a college relationship. You know, they don't have much in common. You know, there was not a relationship that was going to last. So I'm pleased to hear that it hasn't lasted for, you know, 9 years. But I also don't think they're the kind of people that would have reconnected. Veronica and Logan, you know, they've always made that sort of the slow burn. Like, this is the... I mean, the people that write the show are very clearly shipping Veronica and Logan. So, you know, that's always where it was going to end up, I think. I think maybe for me, because I know that it's not going to be, you know, like 20 episodes. It's going to be a couple hours of it. Maybe that makes it more doable. But I think, it's going to obviously be like one of the focuses of the movie. I would just deal with that. And hopefully they will show some character development from Logan so he's not, like, such a despicable person, just in general. That would be appreciated.
I agree that the marketing at least seems to be focusing on the love triangle, but I personally don't think that's going to be a focus. I think Piz is going to be in the movie. I have a feeling Piz is going to be quickly dispensed of. And it'll really be about the murder mystery and Veronica and Logan reconnecting. Like, I don't know. I'm hoping that, because I don't think Rob Thomas is a big, like, love triangle person. I mean, I don't think he wants, like, an adult Veronica to focus on that. So I'm hoping that it's just a marketing ploy to get people in versus the actual, you know, main point of the story.
I hope he gets to stick around, though, like, as Wallace's friend or something, because he's so great. It would just be so sad. And, like, if people only see this movie, if they just, like, get rid of Piz, like, whatever, that'll be really weird because he's so obviously great. And they don't know the history.
I would agree. I would much rather have seen Piz come back as, you know, Wallace's friend and they're doing something together or whatever and, like, introduced that way versus, like, introduced as a romantic interest for Veronica. Because, it would be a shame to miss out on having Piz in the movie, but I'm not at all interested in watching a love triangle between the three of them because it's ridiculous. So I hope you are right, Gabrielle.
Can we also talk about how good everyone looks in the trailer? Piz actually has good hair, which he has mentioned in interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Mac looks amazing. Wallace,
oh, my God. Mac's hair is awesome.
So good.
Can we talk about Wallace, though?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Wallace looks
good.
He looks fine, yeah.
Dick, anybody?
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember his name, but he has aged well.
Yes.
He's better than Logan. I do not see the attraction with Logan. Like, he's not an attractive guy.
He looks much older than everyone else.
Yeah, he looks old. He looks like he's been smoking a few packs a day. That's what he looks like.
Oh, no. It's funny because in the pictures and stuff that I've seen, I didn't even really recognize him at first. And I was like, wow, he does look a lot older. But in the movie trailer, he looked very attractive and I was quite happy.
Nope.
I still find him very attractive.
Side note, you guys are so weird.
Side note, do you guys all realize how insanely, how do I say this? How excited I was at Comic-Con now that you've watched everything to see the cast?
And get donuts.
Oh my gosh, donuts. The donuts part.
Who gave you donuts?
Oh, well, I went to Comic-Con.
Now I know who they are. Break it down again.
So Francis, who played Weevil, and Percy, who played Wallace, gave us donuts when I was in line for the to get my ticket for the fan event. And then I talked to Diane Ruggio, who's like the co-executive producer of the series, when I was in line to get into Hall H for the panel. And then I went to the party and I got pictures with pretty much all of them. So I was a happy girl.
Yeah, it's much more exciting now that I've watched the show.
Danielle is pissed right now.
I'm always pissed. Let's be real.
You got to go to Divergent. Chill out.
Yeah.
And Mitch is going to Veronica Mars, so let's be angry at him.
Yeah. Exciting stuff. When they come to Australia, I'll be first in line. Just waiting for that press event any day now.
Yep. But hey, you got movie tickets.
I know. That was exciting.
I'm so excited.
They're only doing they're doing like two screenings here. So yeah, that worked out well.
That's good. Last question about the trailer. We don't know much, but do you think in terms of the murder that they would pick a character that we know to be the murderer? If so, who? Or do you think they'll pick just like a person that we get introduced to in the movie?
It's Gia. I'm telling you guys. It's Gia. I'm convinced.
Is there a reason for this?
Yes. Okay. She's on all the promotional material and she has like little to no part in the actual series. But they've got her up there with like Wallace and Logan and people who have been there all along. And I feel like she's kind of... she has every reason to be angry at Veronica and kill somebody, and it runs in her genes, the violence. She's a little bit crazy.
I just thought she was in the promotional stuff because people know who she is, and then they might go to the movie. But I like your theory.
I agree with Marima. I also think maybe she's Weevil's wife. That is just, like, my weird theory.
What?
I'm throwing out there. Yes. Weevil says he's married.
No, Weevil can do better.
It would be so funny. So funny. I would laugh so hard.
Oh my god.
What? Weevil is the character I am most interested to know, like, what he's up to.
I want to find out who it is, who his wife is.
Well,
I hope it's
Gia.
Not Gia.
I want it to be, what's her name? From
Carmen?
Yes, Carmen.
I love Carmen.
It better be Carmen. But yeah, so overall, you can tell we're excited for the trailer and we'll be seeing it and a week, which is crazy. It still doesn't feel like it's a week away. So it's super exciting. All right. Well, you've heard this a billion times before, but I'm going to keep reminding you because we like hearing from you. If you would like to get in contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at re_watchable. And you can also comment on this post on Hypeable. We're always in there looking at what you have to say, and we all like talking back to you, so please go in there. And if you are so inclined, leave us a review on iTunes. It'll be like a nice going away for now present, just to hear what you guys have to say. And I don't know, Ariana, do you have any sort of incentives this week? Have you thought of any?
No, I never think of them. We will marry you to Weevil.
That's a good incentive. Yeah. See, you're always the best at this. We just have a few pieces of listener feedback. David Ludwig, his Twitter handle is DW Toodles. And he says he actually sent us an article showing the Rob Thomas and Kitmas Horowitz connection. So if you want to check out that article, go on to... or search for his tweet, or I think you can even probably find it from Rewatchable. And then
we can tweet it out. We can retweet it.
Okay. Yes, we can do that too. And then Tanisha, she says she likes to think of Weeble's Wobbles as the shameless product placement episode. Did you see any product placement? I must have missed it.
It's the reference to the title, Weeble's Wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh, goodness gracious. It's what still early, guys.
They're toys that from, like, the 70s, and they had a commercial that, like, they were, like, these little toys you could, like, knock over with a finger, and then they would bounce right back up.
They're, like, weighted at the bottom, so they're round, and they just kind of...
And they said, you know, their slogan was Weeble's Wobble, but they don't fall down.
Okay, and then we just had a few fun iTunes reviews.
So the fuel to my binge-watching fire is from OneKelly1, and she says, I just started listening to this podcast a few weeks ago because I heard about it on another podcast by Hypeable, Cough, not another Teen Wolf podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's you, Karen.
Ah!
And she says, I also happen to love Veronica Mars, so I started rewatching season one and listening to these podcasts. Even though this is my third time watching VM, I love all of the insight given by the host. It is fun to hear the theories of the newbies and to get a different perspective on a show that I love. I plan on watching Firefly and listening to those episodes soon. Keep up the great work. Also, if you like this podcast, check out any other podcasts by Hypeable. They are all awesome.
Aww.
Which is true. They are awesome.
It's true.
Yeah, Firefly.
Ooh, Firefly.
I will be
that
rewatching
better than
and
this
listening.
Show. No offense.
I will be rewatching and listening to that at some point within the next year, let's say. So I will be with you, friend.
Like
Ariana, did
season.
You want
to? I'll do one more.
Take that other
this
one.
One is called Love, Love, Love by Asha Mayling. And she says, just started binge watching Veronica Mars to get ready to see the movie. And I'm so happy I have this podcast to listen to. Just finished season two and can't wait to start the third. Almost caught up with all these episodes for the big day. Keep up the great work and thanks for many hours of great listening.
Thank you for listening for hours.
These are so nice.
They are really nice.
It makes it all worth it getting up this early in the morning.
Yes. Yes. All right, so before we go, we have a few special announcements. One is more of a reminder. Ariana?
Yes. So we have our rewatchable movie meetup. If you're in the SoCal, Los Angeles area, Gabrielle, Mitch, and I are going to see the Veronica Mars movie on Saturday, March 15th at 4:10 p.m. I know I said 2 last time because I was wrong. 4:10 p.m. at the AMC South Bay Galleria 16 Theater in Redondo Beach. So we should probably tweet that out just as a reminder.
Yeah.
But we'd love to see you there. Say hi to us if you go.
Yeah, say hi to them. It'll be nice.
You can like tweet us too if you know you're going. That way we can look for you.
Yeah. You should wear something special. Be like, this is me. and then I just wanted to, work out, since we have the movie coming up and I don't know what a good window for spoilers should be, this is just something I kind of wanted to work out a little bit. If possible, we want our rewatchable posts and Twitter to remain as spoiler-free as possible until we post our actual episode about the movie, just so like everybody can talk about it at the same time and not be spoiled if you don't want to. And because we're all seeing the movie at different times the first weekend, and we know you all are too, but if you do want to contact us with your general reactions to the movie, please do through any of those channels, just general reactions, if you liked it, if you didn't, if you're excited. And if you would like to discuss something spoilery, you can email us with that and put something like maybe like Veronica Mars spoiler alert in the subject line. And we'll get to reading that once we've all kind of seen the episode or the movie. And then we can maybe talk about it in the podcast. Does that sound okay?
Oh, but we'll want to get their tweets and stuff for the podcast episode.
Or they can tweet rewatchable and we just won't look at it, maybe.
I think that's fine.
Okay. Then, yeah, we can do that way.
Just like people that, like you guys, that I know will pop up in my feed a lot, maybe you guys wait until... Like Mitchell, who's going to see it, like, tomorrow, basically.
staircase.
So jealous.
But yeah, we want a spoiler-free atmosphere if possible. So, but we still would like to hear your reactions. And I think we're recording either next Saturday or Sunday. So if you want to get your reactions in, maybe send them to us by then. I'm not sure what day we chose yet, if we chose a day. So let's just say Saturday or Sunday. So yeah, that's it. That's all for the Veronica Mars series. And we will be back this time next week to either gush over, tear apart, hopefully not, and just talk about the Veronica Mars movie and the possible future of Veronica Mars after that. So, yeah, I don't want to like start talking anymore or keep talking because I may start crying. So let's just go. We'll leave you guys to the anticipation. And if you want to watch the videos on Hypeable, we do have a few clips for you from the movie. I don't think they're spoilery, but I'm personally not watching them because I want to see the whole movie at once. So yeah. So we will see you next week for our discussion of the Veronica Mars movie. We finally made it. We're finally there, and it's going to happen. So until then, I'm Danielle.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Marima.
I'm Gabrielle.
I'm Karen.
I'm Mariana.
And I'm Mitchell.
And we'll see you later, Marshalls. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.